Good evening. Hope y'all all had a good and blessed afternoon. I tell y'all what, I laid down for a Sunday Eve afternoon nap. I hadn't done that in a long time. I thought y'all might need to send a search party. I ain't never laid down in a bed and gone to sleep and woke up and felt so much like I was on a different planet. But you know, it's so good to be back together tonight. And going and looking at God's Word. We are continuing our series that we've been looking at on Sunday nights on being clothed in Christ, living as God's people, and what it looks like to behave like Christ and to be wearing Him in the way that we act and behave. And tonight we're going to be looking at living, being clothed in Christ by being clothed in the good news. And, you know, we've had a pretty good start today in a new year of good news. We got some wonderful news and answered prayers this morning in our Bible class. Gary was back with us this morning, which was wonderful to see. We even added a new brother in Christ today, which is about the best kind of news you can get. You know, it's been pretty good first Sunday of the year. There's something so powerful, though, about that good and encouraging news. I think of when a couple informs their relatives they're having a baby, like Teresa Kilburn told us this morning. Two of the women in her family are about to have new children. It's just good news can give us that exciting, exhilarating feeling that rushes through your body, feelings of hope and joy. And as Christians, we have this amazing opportunity to spread the best news of all, the good news of Christ. I told somebody this morning, that Baptist is getting a lot of work lately. That's something we've been able to do lately, and that's just been really encouraging to me. But when we think of spreading the good news, of being clothed in it, when we walk around and we talk to others, when we deal with them, we usually think of one specific passage of Scripture, and that's the one we're going to look at tonight, Matthew 28. Now, in Matthew 28, when Jesus is standing there with the 11 remaining disciples, it was the good news on their tongues that would fill audiences with joy and excitement after this. When Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it's because he realized that he had such good news that could not be contained. And it would certainly bring days, months, and years of joy to those that heard it. And if you're turning your Bibles to Matthew 28 for the first time, which I can doubt you're going there for the first time tonight, I hate to tell you that these are the last three verses of this gospel. This is kind of where it ends. The word gospel means good news, and it's already been told throughout this book. It's the story of Matthew up until this point. That is really what makes up so much of our gospel, of our good news, and through the rest of the gospels in the New Testament. You're catching the aftermath of the events as Jesus sends out the disciples to go on to bigger, greater, and more extensive mission trips outside the borders of Palestine and into the entire world. Nevertheless, so much is said in these few words at the end of Matthew 28. And I want to give a little quick context before we read them. Jesus has already died. He's already risen from the grave and he walks again. Judas is gone. Peter has returned and the disciples have gone through their great struggle. They've failed him. They've scattered in the time of need that he had, all except for John and Peter, who followed and then struggled again. They've swallowed their pride and they've come back. At least 11 of them did. They're broken, but they're not destroyed. They've been persecuted, but not forsaken, perplexed, but not driven to despair. And here in this final passage of the book, Jesus is sending them out to tell the world that God has such a deep passion for us, that he was moved in his heart to come here in the form of Jesus, that God actually came down to earth, walked around with us, ate with us, talked to us, healed us, helped us, that's who he is. He wants to connect with us. He wants to be with us, to dine with us, to get to know us, to spend his time with us. In many ways, that is the good news. God really loves you and he wants to know you. Let's read Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" First thing he does is he gives this statement of autonomy and authority. Jesus is the one who is over everything. I don't always think about that when I'm looking at this passage, but I actually think that's really neat. Jesus says, I'm sending all of you out, but it begins by saying, "Now look, I don't care who else you see, who else talks to you." I think of like a commanding officer in the military, you know, he outranks me, so I need to listen to him. Well, Jesus outranks everyone. And so Jesus begins by reminding us of this, that there's nobody else that's going to give you something more important marching order, something to listen to instead of what he has said. He says, "Listen to me. I have authority over the cosmos, over the heavens, and even over the earth, through all the kingdoms of this planet." And with this in mind, Jesus is sending out these disciples to do three basic things. This is the marching orders he gives them. He says, first, make disciples as you go. It's assumed that Christians will be coming and going throughout the world. And as they go, they should wear their faith on their sleeves. It should be within us through and through. Something obvious to the world around us. That God has offered a message of love and hope to humanity that's going to bless everybody that hears it. It should be what we talk about, what we think about, something that comes up when we're meeting with others, discussing life with others, getting to know them. Second, Jesus tells them that as they move in and out throughout all the nations of the world, there will be people who hear and understand and excitedly respond to the good news of God, like we saw this morning. And when this happens, assist them in responding to God's great offer. Immerse them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit so that they'll be bathed in God through and through for a life filled with God's love and lived for love of God. And last but not least, Jesus realized that even after we've heard the message of trust and hope and steadfast compassion, many times it is extremely difficult to figure out how to live out this story of Jesus, this gospel. You know, it's hard to run around every day as a Christian and perfectly know how to respond to every circumstance just like Jesus did. We aren't perfect. We're relying on him to help us with that. We need help with that. Jesus knew this. And so the disciples were commended to be involved in teaching them to observe everything that they had witnessed in the life of Jesus. They had been with the Lord, they knew Jesus, and they could pass on the stories of the Lord for the benefit of others who wanted to model their lives after the example of the Messiah. That's why we have most of the books of the New Testament. They're written with or by associates of these people. And they wrote it so that we could use it to do exactly what they did, to tell others about Jesus and to help each other to remember what Jesus did and how he did it and to think about how we should live in response to that. One of my teachers at Heritage, a man I really admired named Jeremy Barrier, once wrote this. He's one of the most active missionary I've ever known. And he said, "On various occasions, in over 30 different countries, and on 5 continents, I have preached the good news of the coming of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. And in many instances, I've seen the light bulb in people's mind just kind of come on. I've seen them bow their head in tears when they hear the crucifixion. I've seen them weep with joy as the message of hope rung from the walls of the mud huts in Africa. He is risen. The message of Jesus is a message of overcoming. It is a story of overcoming impossible odds. It is a story that says, yes, the universe has design. It has a point. And that point is God. And yes, not only does he exist, not only did he create this world, but he loves you. He wants to know you. He cares for you. It's a message that tells us to believe and trust in other people after we've been burned and hurt by them time and again. It's a message that tells us we can still love when people seem to be unlovable. The message of Jesus is the impossible made possible. It is the miraculous, awe-inspiring story that encourages me to get up each and every day. I am encouraged to do the next right thing. I am transfixed on rising from my bed, even when everything in life says, give up. I'll get up because he rose. I'll come forth and I'll face the day because he came forth and faced this world. What a message. That's what the gospel is. It is this good news for living. This good news that the world is not this terrifying, dark, bleak place that's just going to beat us down until we die. It's a place where Jesus came, loved us, died for us, lived for us. And he has given us the power to go into this world and share that good news, to fill it with a little more joy, to give hope even in a time of hopelessness, to let people know that this ain't the end. That there's more to life than what happens in the day-to-day of this world. I hope that this year is a year of good news for you and of sharing the best news in the world. Like I said, we've gotten a lot of use out of this baptistry lately. Our family is growing. And the gospel works because God is the one that gives that growth. And so I ask you as we get ready to leave tonight, as we go into this new year, we begin our first full week here in January, I ask you to pray. Pray for Clanton. Pray for the church here, for our community, for us this week as we have this time of new things. Pray for growth, for guidance, for wisdom, for each of us as members, for our elders, for our community around us. Let's be a people of good news this year. Because I think the world really needs it. They don't know what the good news is. I think that's one of the reasons they're so sad. They're so caught up in the bad news. They don't understand who Jesus is. So let's try and do what we can to help them know him. To help them know the joy that we know. I don't know what your struggle is this evening. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you don't understand that good news. Maybe you are a Christian and you just feel like there is nothing good left. Like the world just beat you down. You need some encouragement. You need prayer. You need just a pat on the back from people that love you and a reminder that God loves you. Whatever your need is, whatever we can do for you, we want to help you in any way we can as we stand and sing this evening.